Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Glad that you're here with us today. Welcome to those of you that are watching online. Great to have you tuning in with us as well. I hope everyone's doing okay and surviving okay as we endure what seems to be this never-ending season of restrictions. And just when you're trying to feel good, they seem to always come up with more negative news for you. But there is some good news on the horizon, I think. And even this weather this week, looking at the forecast, looks like it's going to be above zero all week. And when I see that, I just think it's every time it's above zero, I'm just that much closer to golfing. So that just lifts my spirit right there. But I'm sure like you, I'm so ready to be done with all of this and just get back to doing a lot of the things that I love to do. You know, we are almost at that one-year mark. It was in March of last year, of course, when our lives really changed. And a lot has happened in this last year. A lot has happened to us. There's been a lot that's happened on the outside of us, but I think you would agree that there's probably been a lot happening on the inside of us over this past year as well. I've experienced, personally, so many different emotions in this last year. If I had to tell you what the most difficult emotion that I've had to deal with, I would say that the emotion has been disappointment, or maybe even disillusion. My daughter Eden spoke last week about her battle with disappointment, and it's certainly been one that I've faced and battled with. I've faced the disappointments of just things that I had planned for my life personally, some trips and things like that haven't happened. I've been disappointed at the fact that my kids have been disappointed. Watching them miss out on some things that they'll, never get back. And it's hard to see them go through those things. So I've been disappointed on behalf of my kids. On top of that, I have found myself disappointed and disillusioned by some of the attitudes and responses and reactions that I've seen on display in the world today, particularly from some of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, if I'm truthfully honest with you. I've been disappointed and disillusioned over the leadership and moral failures of some prominent Christian leaders in the world in this last year, some that I admired. In all honesty, as I look back over this last year, I would say that in all my years of living on this planet, being a Christian, being a churchgoer, that I've never seen so much division. I've never seen so many strong opinions in the church in all my life. And some days it feels like no one has grace for anyone who thinks differently than they do anymore. And then I realize that I'm running out of grace for those who have no grace. And that's not good because now I'm part of the problem. And I find it all a bit exhausting and depressing. Can anybody relate to anything that I'm sharing this morning? I'm sure you can. You know, some days I've literally sat in my dad's office and I said, I've never wanted to go to heaven more than I want to go right now. And I'm not suicidal, but some days heaven's just looking a whole lot better. And some days I just feel like, do I have to be associated with this? I mean, just the fact that I'm a pastor, I'm going to be lumped in with some of this stuff, and I just don't want to be lumped in with this anymore. Now, feelings such as this can do one of two things. They can lead us away from Christ, or they can lead us towards Him, actually. They can weaken our faith. And I'd have to say, I've even sometimes been a little, as I said, been a little disillusioned by some things and had to wrestle through some things. And going through stuff like this can weaken our faith. But it can also cause our faith to be strengthened. How can they strengthen our faith, you might ask? Well, the answer is that when we go through stuff like this, it calls us back to a place of soul searching. It calls us back, I feel like, to a place of simplicity, back to a place of really desiring authenticity. There's just so much craziness and fake this and fake that and what's real and not real. And, you know, even with all the celebrity Christianity and everything that goes along with it, I find myself saying, I just want to get back to something authentic and real. And when you see the brokenness of humanity and the sorrow of poor choices and the pain and division of pride and the damage of serving false idols, I don't know about you, but it just makes me hungry to encounter the real Jesus again. It makes me hungry to see the Holy Spirit take the lead in our churches again, to see the Holy Spirit take the lead in our lives. It makes me hungry to just be a person that follows Him and responds to Him and hears His voice, because I'm tired of all the other voices. And I truly believe that a lot of the problems that we see in church these days, and when I say church, I'm talking about the greater body of Christ. I think a lot of the problems that we see in church these days are because people have stopped letting the Holy Spirit lead their lives. And you see, when the Holy Spirit no longer takes the lead, our flesh and our desires begin to rule. And the consequences of our flesh ruling and our flesh taking the lead are disastrous. And what is really scary is when we are deceived into thinking we're following the Holy Spirit's lead when we're not anymore. And there's been a prayer that's been coming out of my life in the last number of weeks, and I'm talking about in my own personal time with Jesus and my own personal reflection, there's this prayer coming out of my life, and the prayer is simply this: Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Holy Spirit, I want you to rule over my thoughts. I want you to rule over my emotions. Holy Spirit, change the inside of me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, soften my heart. Holy Spirit, lead me. And this sermon series that we're going to do for the next 5 weeks is coming out of this prayer of just desiring once again to have the Holy Spirit lead my life and lead our lives and lead the church. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What's Paul talking about when he's talking about a mind set on the flesh or a mind set on what the Spirit desires? When the Bible speaks of this word flesh, what it's referring to is our sin nature. In fact, some Bible translations use the term sin nature in place of flesh. The Bible teaches us that because of the disobedience of Adam, sin entered the world. And because Adam is the father of the human race, every human being born after Adam was born with the seeds of sin inside of him. Our nature is sin. You could say that our default setting is sin. We're all born sinners. You never have to teach a child how to sin. They're born sinners. They're born evil, those little guys. Before they can even speak, I found this with my own children. Before my children could even speak, I could see them rebel. Even before they could speak, they were selfish. Even before they could speak, they could get angry, tantrum, etc. In the beginning of the book of Romans, Paul spends two chapters devoted to proving how every human being is born a sinner. He sums it up, those two chapters, by saying that all people are under the power of sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "There is none who is righteous, not even one." Because of our sin nature or our flesh, every kind of evil is within us. Without Christ, we are slaves to our sin nature. We live under its control. It rules us. It reigns over us. And our sin nature controls our thinking, producing all kinds of evil. Our sin nature separates us from God, who's holy and righteous. Our sin nature made us enemies of God, and our destiny was an eternity apart from Him. His righteous judgment, His wrath, was our pending doom. That's the bad news. But the most glorious news on earth is this, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and He died for us sinners." The Bible tells us that on the cross, He took our sins upon Himself, and He was judged for them in our place. On the cross, He experienced the wrath of God for every sin that had ever been committed, that will ever be committed. In that one place in time, He took our sins and He gave us His righteousness. I say that the cross is the place where the greatest exchange took place. Jesus took our sin and gave us His righteousness. And He did it for one reason, because He absolutely loves us. And therefore, the cross is a place of rebirth. Jesus actually used this term, being born again, because at the cross, something amazing happened. At the cross, we were given a new nature. We were given the Holy Spirit Himself to come and live on the inside of us. Paul goes on to write in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, that God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Church, that is incredible news. God declared an end to sin's control over you. Do you know that? If you know Jesus, then God has declared an end to sin's control in your life. When you humble yourself and repent and make Jesus your Lord and publicly acknowledge your need of Him, something amazing happens. Your sin nature is no longer your master. The chains of sin are broken off of your wrists. You receive the salvation that only Jesus can provide, and God places His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And now, because of what Jesus has done, you are free to choose what is going to rule your life. You are free to choose who you're going to follow. Is your flesh going to lead, or is the Holy Spirit going to lead you? What's going to lead you? Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 12, "Dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. There was a time when you were under obligation, but God has set you free." And Paul says, you're not under obligation any longer. "For if you live by its dictates," talking about your sinful nature, "you're going to die. You're going to experience death in those areas of your life. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you're going to live. You're going to live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." What's leading you? Who's leading you? You see, even though you've been set free, you can still choose to follow the desires of your flesh. Unfortunately, our sin nature is not eradicated until we get to heaven. There's many times I'm like, Jesus, just take this thing out of me. He's going to in eternity. But today, it's still there. And so we can choose to follow the desires of our flesh. We're not obligated to, but we can. We read earlier that those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The flesh has desires, and they're powerful. But the Spirit within us also has desires, and they're powerful. And who you choose to follow is ultimately going to determine the kind of life that you are going to live. Are you going to follow the flesh, or are you going to follow the Spirit? One brings death, one brings life. Romans 8, verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want the life of the Holy Spirit. I want the peace of the Holy Spirit. When I see what's going on in the world today, I see the power of the flesh. I see people being ruled by the flesh, and I'm saying, oh, God, I don't want to live that way. You've set me free from that. I want to live by the Spirit. I want the life and the peace of the Holy Spirit in my life. The mind governed by the flesh, it's hostile to God. It's opposed to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God, Paul writes. Whenever we choose to follow the flesh, we experience its consequences, and they're deadly. They're deadly. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to rule, something amazing happens. We experience the life and the peace that Jesus came to bring us. You know, the enemy of our souls, he wants nothing more than for you and I to live out of our flesh. But God wants us to live a life of peace. He wants us to live a life of abundance. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Church, Jesus came to give us life. He died so that you and I could truly live. He came to set us free from the thief whose whole purpose is to rob us of the life that is found in the Holy Spirit. Paul continues in Romans 8, verse 10, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. When I read this verse, it just fills me with so much hope. There's so much hope and promise in these verses. It tells us that even though our bodies are dying because of sin, there is a new source of life living inside of us. You might be conscious. You know, the older I get, the more conscious I am that this body of mine is dying. But we need to live with another conscience, with the reality of the fact that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The same Spirit that resurrected Jesus is on the inside. My flesh might be dying, but I'm being renewed and coming alive on the insides. And every day that my flesh dies is dying, and the closer I get to death, the closer I'm also getting to the full resurrection. the full experience of the life of the Holy Spirit. But I don't have to wait for eternity to experience that life. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of me right now. And it's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. And that tells me that those areas of my life that are dead, it tells me that those areas of my life that are stinking and a mess, there's hope for those areas because I have a Spirit of resurrection on the inside. I have a Spirit of power on the inside. I have a Spirit that was so powerful that it raised Jesus from the dead. It will raise me from the dead as well. Come on, that's the good news of the gospel. That causes us to live with hope. That causes us to live with confidence. That causes us to live with anticipation. The enemy wants to turn your attention to those areas of sin and darkness. Jesus wants to turn your attention to the Holy Spirit that He's given you on the inside of you. Power. There's hope. I don't care what area of your life that you feel like, man, I see the chains of sin. Listen, you're not under obligation to that anymore. There is a power within inside of you to set you free, to transform you. And the more that I choose to yield to the Holy Spirit, the more that I let the Holy Spirit lead me, the more my thoughts and actions and emotions begin to reflect Jesus Himself. You see, the Spirit of God in me is always going to lead me to be like Jesus. The more I yield, the more transformation I will experience. Yeah, in eternity, we're going to experience the fullness of our salvation. And there won't be a sin nature in us any longer, and we'll be given a new body. But here and now, the Holy Spirit is in us to resurrect, to heal, to transform. We have been saved by what Jesus did on the cross. We are being saved by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we will be saved. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, change is possible. The Holy Spirit, by His very nature, is life-giving and transforming. And so as we set our minds on the Spirit, as we yield to Him, as we say, Spirit, lead me, as we follow His lead, something amazing happens. We begin to be changed from the inside out. Notice that Paul wrote these words. In verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Notice that he says that the Holy Spirit doesn't drive us or force us. He leads us. The question before us is whether we'll choose to follow the lead. Will we follow the Spirit's desires or will we follow the desires of the flesh? You know, when we talk about the life of the Spirit, there's one more powerful truth that Paul brings out in this 8th chapter of Romans. It's the continuation of the truth that I already read in verse 14 about being children of God. Let me read it to you again. He says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery. We were slaves under sin. We were slaves under our old nature. But when Jesus put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, when we made Him our Savior, we received a spirit not of slavery, leading to fear again. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Most of us know that that word Abba means daddy. It's a child speaking to his father. There's this cry, Daddy, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our own spirit. I'm a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, then I'm an heir. an heir of God, and a fellow heir with Christ. I've got an inheritance. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. The inheritance that God has for us is so amazing, so incredible. Because I'm a child of God, any suffering that I'm going through in this life, I can't even compare it. Paul says that the Holy Spirit that God placed on the inside of us is a spirit of adoption. Apart from Christ, we were enemies of God, but not anymore. When God placed His Holy Spirit in us, we were adopted as sons and daughters. He didn't just free us from the slavery of sin. Say, okay, you're free. He did so much more than that. He said, now come on. Be a part of my family. He gave us full rights as sons and daughters, an inheritance. The spirit of adoption does something amazing. It gives us access to the Father. It opens the door. Jesus made a way, and the Spirit invites us to come. There's no more shame. There's no more guilt. There's no more condemnation. Our chains are gone. Our sins are covered. And now the Holy Spirit says, come on. Come to the Father. It's a spirit of adoption. It's a spirit that shouts out when it sees the Father. Abba! Daddy! It's a spirit that longs to be near Him. You know, every time I talk about this scripture, I tell you the same story. And some of you are like, can't you get a new one? No, I can't. This is the best story I got. I always picture this when I think of this scripture. The Holy Spirit just used it to give me revelation of what we're talking about. And happened so many years ago when my kids were so young. I'm not sure exactly what age they were. I'm thinking maybe like the age of 3 when my oldest daughter Eden was about 3. Angie and I had been out of town. I can't remember if it was for the weekend or for a week or something like that. And we were driving back into the driveway, and we were excited to see the kids. And we knew that the kids were going to be excited to see us and were missing us. And you know, as a parent, when your kids are little, one of the awesome things about having little kids is they want to be with you. When they get older, something changes. But when they're little, they want to be with you. And they love being with you. They love being close to you. And they miss you. And so you know this as parents. And so when you've been gone for a while, of course you miss them. And you know that they're missing you. And so that moment when there's the reunion, it's a glorious moment. And you know they're going to be excited. And so as we pulled into the driveway, I was thinking, I can't wait for the love. And so as I parked the car, I didn't open the trunk to get the bags out and bring them in. I wanted to be the first into the house because the first love, it's the best. It's the strongest. And so I didn't want Angela getting it. I wanted it. I wanted the love. And so I kind of surprised her. I put the car in park and I just bolted into the house. Got into the door first. And I stood in the porch. We had about 2 or 3 steps down into the porch from the main level, kind of like about the stage here. And I stood in the porch where I could see into the living room. And I could see Eden was playing on the floor there. And she hadn't seen me. And I was being all quiet and sort of sneaky and just standing there and hoping that she'd see me. And all of a sudden, she looks up and she sees me. And the first words that come out of her mouth, Daddy! And she jumps to her feet, and she takes off running from the living room through the kitchen, gets to the edge of the step, and just launches off the step right into my arms. And she just bear hugs me, and I mean, it was like I had been gone for a year. And I've got her, and I'm embracing her in the porch, and kissing her, and telling her how much I loved her, and missed her, so good to see you, and When I read this scripture that says we have a spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Daddy, I always go back to that moment in the porch. Because in that moment, there was no fear in Eden that she was going to be rejected. No fear in her that she wasn't going to be embraced. No fear in her that I wasn't going to catch her. No inhibitions. Complete confidence in her father. She was no slave. She was a child. My child. And as my child, she wanted nothing more than to be with her daddy. And I can tell you, her daddy wanted nothing more than to be with her. And we have this spirit of adoption that's always leading us to the Father. The spirit in us is always saying, get close to the Father. Get close to the Father. Get close to the Father. Because in the Father, we have everything we need. We have security. We have strength. We have comfort, help. There's nothing like the presence of God. The Holy Spirit leads us to intimacy with the Father. He wanted so much for us to be in His family that He sent His own Son to make a way. Intimacy with Him awaits. A glorious inheritance awaits. The joy of His presence awaits. And so the Spirit within us is always leading us to the Father. But here's the thing. The flesh within us, it wars against the Spirit. It's an enemy. The flesh within us wants to keep us from the Father. The enemy of our souls wants to destroy us. And so he stirs up the desires of the flesh to lead us away from the Father. He lies to us and he deceives us that somehow that the Father is going to reject us. He entices us with lies that if we follow, he says, if you follow the Spirit, you're going to miss out. The Father's holding out on you. He's restricting you. That was the lie that was right there in the garden that Adam and Eve succumbed to, that somehow the Father was holding out on them. I tell you, the devil hasn't changed his tactics. He offers us the pleasures of this world. I remember one time when I was a little boy, somebody gave my father, I don't even know if you can buy these chocolates anymore, they used to come in a box. It was like a chocolate with a cherry on the inside. Somebody gave one of these to my dad and he bit into this thing and then he spit it out. It had worms on the inside of it. I don't know how old that thing was. That's what the devil is like. He offers us and it looks so good on the outside, but when you bite in, it's dead in there. It's full of worms. On the outside it looks good, but ultimately they destroy us. You know, here's the amazing thing. The more you follow the Holy Spirit, the freer you are. The freer you are. Let me conclude. When I follow the Spirit, something amazing happens. As the Spirit begins to transform me, the fruit of the Spirit begins to come out of my life. Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, here's the results. They're very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild party, and all other sins that are just like these. Let me tell you again, Paul says, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. God has an inheritance for us. His kingdom. We won't inherit it following the desires of the flesh. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against such things. I began the message by saying that I truly believe that a lot of the problems we see in the church world these days are because people have stopped letting the Holy Spirit lead them. When you read this first part of Galatians and compare it with what you see in the world and what you see in the church in many ways, you notice something sobering. The evidence of the flesh, the evidence of the sinful nature is everywhere. We see it in this description of the flesh. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a couple pointed questions. When you read the description that I just read to you of the flesh and of the spirit in Galatians, how do your social media posts stand up under this description? Do they show the fruits of the spirit? Or do they show evidence of the flesh? When you look at how things are going in your relationships, do they show evidence of the flesh? Or do they show evidence of the Holy Spirit? When you look at the desires that are coming out of your life, is it the flesh or the Holy Spirit? Your passions. If the answer is no, if the fruit of this that's coming out of your life doesn't reflect the Spirit, then I want to urge you this morning to join me in this prayer. You say, Joel, why are you praying this prayer? Because I don't like all the things that are coming out of my life. I see death inside of me. I see things inside of me that I don't like. I see myself in chains when Jesus has set me free. And I'm saying, I want to live by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead me. I urge you to yield to the Spirit of God within you this morning. I urge you to make a choice this morning. I'm going to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. Next week, I'm going to do a deeper dive into what that looks like on a practical level. But today, my intention is to provoke you. Today, my intention is to stir you to once again say, Holy Spirit, lead me. And to ask yourself the question, is the Holy Spirit actually leading my life? What does the evidence say when I look at the fruit that's coming from my life? You know, maybe you're watching this morning and you've never let the Holy Spirit lead you because you've never received the Holy Spirit, because you've never made Jesus your Savior. If you've never made Jesus your Savior, then you just have a sin nature inside. You don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And your eternal destiny is the wrath of God. But you can receive the salvation that Jesus came to give you. You can receive the Holy Spirit inside of you simply by falling on your knees and saying, Jesus, I need you. I need a Savior. The Bible says that if you will believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and are willing to confess with your mouth that He's the Lord, you'll be saved. Saved from what? An eternity apart from Him. Saved from the sinful nature on the inside of you. And you can receive the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I'm going to lead in a prayer of salvation. Maybe there's somebody watching online. Maybe there's somebody even in the room this morning who's never made Jesus their Savior. Then why don't you pray with me right now? Jesus, I come before you today. I see the evidence of the sinful nature in me, and I want to be free. I want to experience the life of the Holy Spirit, the abundant life here in this earth, and the eternal life that you came to give me. I don't want to be separated from the Father anymore. I want to be part of the family of God. And so, Jesus, I acknowledge that I need you. I come to give you my sin in exchange for your righteousness. Would you place the Holy Spirit on the inside of me? If you prayed that prayer by faith this morning, I'm telling you, whether you feel it or not, something amazing has happened. God has placed His Holy Spirit within you. And His Spirit in you now cries out, Abba, Father. you're here this morning, if you're watching online and you know that you need to get back to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's not leading your life, then I want you to just take a moment, wherever you're watching, just as you're sitting in your seat this morning, and join me in this prayer. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, soften my heart. I see a hardness in my heart. I see the hardness of sin within me. I see the coldness of sin within me. But Holy Spirit, you are a fire. Jesus said that he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would warm my heart. Holy Spirit, I ask that the fire would burn inside of me again. And today, I once again submit. Holy Spirit, lead me. I want to follow you. Holy Spirit, change me from the inside out. I thank you, my God, for the power of the Holy Spirit that you've placed within me. Let it rule and reign in my life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, that's my message, church. We're going to continue to dive into this in the weeks to come. God bless you.